Good to see all of you today. Grab your Bibles, turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. One of my favorite chapters in the whole book, John chapter 15. I want to say to you, hey, Greg Morton's here. Love you, man. One of our servicemen is back from being deployed over in Cuba, so love you, man. Congratulations. Thanks for serving. Awesome. What was I saying? Where was I? John 15. And we got Randy Alston in front of him. Good to see you, Mr. Randy. I don't know why I called you out. I just see you. I love you. Yeah. Then we got Mr. Broussard over there. Keep going. You want to? I want to say, I say this often because I'm making sure to try to speak it into the culture, because you know what we're building, we've got to keep reinforcing. And so I say this often. I say this probably too much. Some of you are getting sick of hearing it. But here at Victory, we are a discipleship church, okay? So I'm saying this to set expectations. So, you know, one of my favorite sayings, all conflict comes from unmet expectations. So I'm just laying out expectations of why we do what we do here at Victory and how we do it. And so the message I'm going to speak to you this morning, I'm speaking from this avenue, from this paradigm that we are here to make disciples today, to be made as a disciple. And listen to this, and to be equipped to make disciples, right? Because God hasn't just called this organization to make disciples, he's called us individually to make disciples. Pastor Brady preached on that last week when he spoke, find the one who is that person that you are pouring into. So anyway, the way we present messages, we present with this idea of building disciples. I'm not here to entertain you. I mean, I hope what I say is entertaining. But this really isn't about impressing you with something. This is about in relaying, you know, giving information to you so that you can be brought along in your discipleship process. I want to challenge you with something, though. I want to challenge you with this thought. Imagine when you are receiving information, like a format like this, where there's information being given to you. Imagine if the information that was given to you, you had to teach to someone else. The question is, would you listen a different way? Do we listen differently when we know that I actually have to teach someone else this? So I want to challenge you today to listen in that way, that I'm not just here to feed you, but we're here to be fed and equipped so that we can pass this along to others. Can I hear a big hearty amen? With that in mind, John chapter 15, I'm going to do some more expository teaching. In other words, I just want to walk verse by verse. We're going to walk through the word verse by verse, and we're just kind of unpack what the Lord is saying to us here. So, begins in this way. Before I start reading, I'm just trying to challenge our production people to see if they can stay up with me, you know. But before I start reading, let me just say this. Let me give you the context. In John chapter 15, we're looking at, this is right after Jesus has had the Last Supper with his disciples. So this is when Jesus is kind of rounding up, finishing up his earthly ministry. Now imagine this. Imagine Jesus having spent 3.5 years pouring into these men who are going to take over for him. So they were going to continue this thing. So he had invested his life in them, and now he knows that he's about to be crucified. He's about to leave the planet. And so you have to understand the intentionality that Jesus is using while he's communicating this to his disciples. Do you feel that with me? In other words, this wasn't just some random lesson. This is like, no, guys, listen. I'm wrapping this thing up. I'm about to leave, and I'm leaving this in your hands, so I need you to pay attention. I don't know if Jesus did that. Tell me you understand what I'm saying to you. So that's the setting. That's the context in which Jesus is sharing this information. In other words, you really need to get this before I leave the planet, okay? And so these chapters right here, 14, 15, 16, all these are really important in Jesus kind of wrapping up his ministry to his disciples and leaving it in their hands. So John 15 starts this way. He says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Stop there. I am the true vine, And my father is the husbandman, or the gardener, is what he's saying. Now, first thing I want to draw to your attention is what I call that we have to understand the cultural relevance of things we read in Scripture. I did this earlier with our ministry teams. Is there anybody in here who is currently, you are at your house, you have some kind of fruit-producing vine that you are cultivating? Is anybody in here? If you are, I'd really love to see your hand. Okay, so there's a few of us. Now, why am I pointing that out? Because out of the 500 people in this room, there's about 6 of them who are raising vines. In other words, we understand vines, but this isn't a really impactful thing to us because our culture just isn't into raising vines. But you have to understand what it meant to these guys, because they lived in an agricultural region. Agriculture was everything. Plus, there was vineyards everywhere. There's grapevines all over this region. So when he says vine, it's like saying crawfish to us. We just get it because it was culturally relevant. Now, why am I saying this? First point I want to make is there are things you're going to read in the Word where you're going to have to dig a little deeper to find the cultural relevance. But may we be the children of God who are so interested in knowing Him and the depths of all He has to say for us that we will be the people who will dig. We will go the extra mile. We will have a hunger for the Word of God. You are not responding like I want you to respond right now. May we be the people who will get the commentary out, who will look in the Greek, who will look in the Hebrew, who will do a little extra work to extrapolate. Do you like that word? Extrapolate every bit of nutrition from this. Okay? So, some things are culturally relevant, and we just need to understand it. So Jesus says right here, he says, I am the true vine. Again, they knew what this meant because they were used to seeing vines. So they also knew that he was probably referring to a grapevine because grapes were the things that were most grown in that region. So they automatically go to grapevine. Now, being that they understand the raising of grapes, they know that if you're going to cultivate a grapevine, if you're going to produce good fruit out of a grapevine, you're going to have to give it some attention. It's not a seed that you scatter out there and then it just pops up these beautiful grapes. No, so Jesus is saying, listen, I'm this vine and I've got a father who's the gardener and he's just giving this thing a lot of attention. In other words, this isn't a haphazard thing. This isn't throwing turnip seeds in with your ryegrass seed and just spreading it out in the pasture and going picking turnips later, right? This is like, no, you're going to have to pay attention. So they understood this about a grapevine. The next thing that they probably understood, and they made this connection quickly, follow me. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that the vine was a symbol of the nation of Israel. So it was an actual, the word says that Israel is a vine that God had planted. Okay, you tracking with me? So they make this connection that they understand that the symbol of the nation of Israel was the vine. But he said to them, I am the true vine. So when he said that, here's what I always believe he was saying. He said, okay, we know that the vine is a symbol of Israel, and congratulations for being connected to the Jewish tree. But you need to understand that it's not your connection to the Jewish tree that's going to bring you to relationship with God. It's your connection with me. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So your lineage, your family, your nation, none of that stuff makes you connected to the Father. It's through me. And so Jesus, by implication there, is saying, if you want connection, I'm the one. And so he presents this to them. And so he's calling for them to connect to him in that way. So I am the true vine. My father is the gardener. So what is the application for us today in this first verse, in this first little passage? I believe there's always application for the Word of God. Here's the application I want to make. Please, every eye on me. The understanding is this. as much as we love you being a part of this church, being a part of this church does not connect you to God. Or the next church, or the church down the road, or a religion, or a denomination, or any of that. Listen, we prayed for families up here a little while ago. We were dedicating children, and we were recognizing that there's family connections with God through our lineage, you know, grandparents of faith and parents of faith and all those things. But ultimately, it comes down to that individual making a choice of whether they're going to connect to the vine or not. So our application takeaway from this, listen, congratulations for being here today. But that is not what's most important. Your connection here, even if you have your name on the seat you're sitting in, or that's your chair, that's not what's important. Jesus says, I am the true vine. So our purpose then is to connect with him. Continue reading with me in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he introduces a couple of things to us here. First of all, he introduces this idea of fruit. So he's saying, I'm the true vine, and when you connect with me, your life needs to produce fruit. So the question then becomes, what is fruit? What is he after here? I don't know about you, but I just growing up, I don't think I ever heard this said, but I had this idea of growing up that if I'm going to produce fruit, it means I have to get people saved. Did anybody think that way? Like the fruit of my connection with the vine is I got to get people saved. But I don't think this is what it's saying here. Here's what I believe it's saying. If there is a vine, a grapevine with a branch off of it, what fruit should show up on the branch of a grapevine? Grapes. That's deep. That's revelation right there. So I believe the fruit that God is looking for in us, if Jesus is the vine, then the fruit that he's looking for is Christ-likeness. I just ought to look like the vine. I ought to look like Jesus. Ought to have the same motivation of Jesus. What was Jesus' motivation? It always amazed me because Jesus' motivation was always the glory and honor of the Father. He's just like, oh, this is for you. This is for you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Come on. Boy, we ought to grab hold of that one. Is the motivation of my heart that the Father would be glorified from my life? Do I stand in the mirror in the morning and say, Lord, would you be glorified in me today? That people wouldn't see me, they wouldn't give me accolades, that I wouldn't be pursuing my own success and my own things, but may people look at me and see the glory of God. May somehow my life cause people to see your goodness and for you to be glorified and the name of Jesus to be lifted up in my life. I think that's the fruit he's looking for. It's our motivations, our heart. What was the heart of Jesus? I just want to please the Father. I just want to please the Father. I just want to be obedient. I don't want to say anything that he doesn't say. I don't want to do anything that he doesn't do. Just a heart to please the Father. Church, may we stand in the mirror and go, oh Lord, would you give me a heart that just wants to please you? Not please myself. Not please my selfishness, but a heart to please you. To walk in such obedience that when you say jump, I say how high, right? I'm not going to buck you on it. I'm not going to argue with you. When you say do it, I do it. I believe this is the fruit that Jesus is looking for. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I just think that's the kind of stuff he's looking for. That the fruit of the Spirit would mark us. That when they look at our lives, they would see love and joy and peace and kindness and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, that these things would mark us. Now turn to your neighbor and say, is that you? No. So he introduces this idea of fruit. So, okay, he says, you know, we need to be fruitful. If we're going to be a branch attached to the vine, we need to produce fruit. So he also introduces this, with this idea of fruit, he introduces two different branches. Now, here's what he says. He says, there are branches that are productive and there are branches that are unproductive. He starts with the unproductive. And he says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, full disclosure here. If you actually do a little work in the Greek, I want to challenge you to do a little work in the Greek, looking at that line, he taketh away. Now, if you do a little work in the Greek, what you'll find is, you know, every definition of a word in the Greek will have several layers to it. And actually, the first layer, if you look up that phrase in the Greek, you'll find that the first meaning of take away means to lift up. Now, track with me. You ready? So he says, every branch in me that's not producing fruit, he lifts it up. In fact, it was customary that there was actually sticks maybe propping up this branch, a little help. Anybody need a little help every once in a while? Even have you gone by the vineyard and seen the wire that they put there so that the branches can have something to attach to? So taketh away, the first definition, if you do a little work, you'll find out that it actually means to lift it up. I believe that reflects the heart of our Father. Because I don't believe God's the angry gardener with the pruning shears going, let me at him. Give me somebody to cut. Is that the God you know? I don't believe that's it. In fact, I believe we have a God who gives the second chance and who's gracious and helps us. So what I get from that is if you're a branch who's not producing the fruit, then he's going to help you a little bit. He's going to prop you up a little bit. But if you continue to work with that definition, you'll find that eventually, you know what taketh away means? To take away. Again, that was deep. You good? So it's this idea that God's gracious, but eventually a branch that is not producing the fruit of Christ-likeness, eventually will get taken away. Now, if you continue to read, if you go further in John chapter 15, it talks about these branches being burned. I honestly don't think he's talking about hell here. You do your own work. Don't just take my word for it. Know what you believe. Get to work on your own and find out what you believe. I really don't think he's talking about sending people to hell because you're not producing fruit. I believe he's saying you're just going to be disconnected. And you're just going to be set off to the side. And you're going to find yourself withered and dry and brittle and hungry and thirsty and separated. Which is probably a good thing. Because maybe that's the thing that will motivate me to go connect to the vine. Because I'm tired of being dry. I'm tired of being beat up. I'm tired of being disconnected. I'm tired of being whipped around. I'm tired of being run over. I need some supply. Right? And so maybe that's the thing that'll motivate us. So it starts with the first branch he introduces is the unproductive branch, the branch that is not producing fruit. But then the second branch he brings to our attention is the productive branch. So there are branches who are producing fruit. Are there any fruit-producing branches in here today? Let me see you. Are you here? You're like, that's it. Some of you, by faith, you're like, that's it. I don't see it yet, but I'm believing. There's fruit. Okay, so to the fruit-producing branch, to the productive branch, he says there's going to be continued pruning so that you'll produce more fruit. So it's like, congratulations for producing fruit, but I'm going to do some work on you so you'll produce more fruit. So the pruning just isn't for separation. The pruning is actual for productivity. And so what the pruning does is the gardener's going to say, you know, that thing is distracting you. That thing is taking away from your fruitfulness. Let's remove that. Anybody raise tomatoes in the house? You know what the suckers are? I grew up, my grandfather had a big old garden. My dad had gardens. Like, get the suckers off the tomatoes. I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at, but okay. These are things that are going to suck up the resources, suck up the nutrients without producing fruit. And church, God's pruning work in your life is to take away things that are maybe consuming your resources, like your energy or your passion or your something, your focus, it's a thing that you just are all into, but it ain't producing no fruit. And so God says, listen, if you'll let me, I'll do a little pruning in your life. And even though you're enjoying some fruitfulness, oh, you let me get to work in there, and we're going to produce some fruit. So the bottom line is this. If you today can say that God is currently working on me, God's stretching me, God's challenging me, God's doing some surgery on me, God's moving some stuff around in your life, I would say to you, congratulations, you're a productive branch. So if you're being challenged, that's a good thing, because he's just trying to get more fruit out of you. But listen, conversely, if you're sitting here saying, God don't doing much in my life, then you may find yourself on a stack of firewood in the back, and the fact that you're not connected. Somebody say, ouch, or oh me, or something. But if you're saying, God's not saying anything, God's not challenging me, God's not doing anything in my life, well, then it may be that you're disconnected and you need to reattach, right? So, two different types of branches that he introduced here, okay? You got time for one more verse? All right, so next verse says this, verse 3. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word clean there means pruned. Okay, so what we said was, if you're a branch that's producing fruit, he's going to do some pruning on you. The question is, how does he prune? The answer is this. Somebody tell me how God prunes us. Through the word of God. It's the word of God that prunes us. In fact, let me challenge you with something. God is not going to prune you by giving you cancer. God is not going to prune you by causing your wife to leave you. God is not going to prune you by killing your children. That's not how God prunes us. He prunes us through the word. So when I look in the word, the Bible says, it says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. It says this, ready? It says, all scripture is inspired by God. One, in fact, put it up on the screen for us. It says this, all scripture is given by inspiration. One translation of the Bible, I love this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. I love that. It said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what does this tell me? God uses the word to prune me because the word will shape my doctrine. And if I got wrong doctrine, get in the word and your doctrine will get right. If you need reproof or correction, if you need to be challenged in something, the word is what does that. And if you need to know how to walk in a righteous manner, guess where it's found? It's found in the word of God. So the word is what God uses to prune us. So this is a reach now. The application for this, ready? Could you guess what the application of this idea may be? Get in the word of God. Get in the word of God. The word is going to go to work in you. I love Hebrews 4:12. It says the word is living and active. In other words, when I get in the word, I put something in me that goes to work. It's living. It goes to work. It finds what's wrong and it fixes it. It's like an antibiotic. I put it in my body and it goes and finds some infection to kill. So when I interact with the word of God, it is putting something living and active in me that's going to shape me, prune me, develop me, help me to walk in righteousness, help me to have proper doctrine, correct me when I'm wrong. It's going to lay this thing out for me, but I have to be involved in the word of God. Personally, get involved in the word of God. And that's what he uses to prune us with. There's so many uses for the word. I don't think we understand the power of the word of God. Bible says the word builds our faith. Romans 10:17. Bible says in John 17, that the word sanctifies us. Bible says here that the word cleans us, prunes us. Bible says in Psalms that it lights our path. The entrance of your word brings light. You see where I'm going with this? In other words, there's so many uses for the word of God. It is so good for us. It's just like spinach. Come on, I mean, it's so good for us. I know we don't want to eat it, but it's so good for you. My mom used to make liver and onions for us. I was in that generation where there was still liver and onions cooked. Is anybody from that generation? If you're younger than me, for some reason, moms had to. In my generation, you weren't a good mom unless you cooked it. You know nobody liked it. There wasn't a person in the house liked the liver and onions, but you had to cook it or you weren't a good mom. Can I hear a feminine amen? It's just good for you, though. You don't want it to be, but it is. The word of God is good for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good for you. So we need to interact with us, with it. And we need to let it interact with us. My whole purpose for saying this, I'm going to wrap it up. You ready? Here's what I'm going to wrap up. Jesus is the vine that you are to be connected to. Thank you for being connected to us as a church. We love you. We want you here. But if we have to choose between you connecting with us or you connecting with him, I'll choose him every time. Church, you have to connect with Jesus. Every person in this room, your wife can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You have to do it. Connect with Jesus. He's the true vine. He's the true vine. Look at your life and say, okay, am I connected? One way we know we're connected is whether I'm producing fruit or not. What does my life look like? Jody, when you described that, when you gave that definition of fruit, that looks nothing like my life. Okay, we're not here to condemn you, but I want to help you. Let's get to work then, right? Let's get in the word. Let it shape us. Let's check our connection. Let's make sure that I'm connected to the vine. So you personally connect to the vine. And then I'm going to bring it home with this last point. You ready? We're talking a lot about discipleship. We talked last week about each one of you finding your one. Who has God given you to minister to? With that idea in mind, here's what I want to say. If you're going to disciple people, what do I do, Jody? What do? You connect them to the vine. You just go to somebody and go, Jesus is your answer. Let me help you get to Jesus. Victory Worship Center isn't your answer. Jody's not your answer. The Pope isn't your answer. Stephen Furtick isn't your answer. Bethel isn't your answer. Jesus is the answer. All we have to do is point people to Jesus. But let me correct that. Not in this way. Like, yeah, Jesus. He's over there. Just go find Jesus. There's your answer. No. That's not the heart of a disciple. The heart of a disciple is, come here, brother. Come here, sit down next to me. This is the Bible. Let's open this and let's look for Jesus. Bells ought to be going off in somebody's mind right now. Right here, brother. Here's what it says. You ready? It says this. Let's obey this verse today. Then we close the Bible and I kneel down with my brother and I say, let's connect with Jesus now in prayer. Oh God, we give our lives to you. I pray for my brother that you would indwell him with your Holy Spirit and he would know you and know a connection with you. Would you give him a hunger for your word? Would you give him the right friends? You're not responding like I want you to respond. I think we're seeing a picture of discipleship. All we got to do is help people connect them to Jesus, but not like, hey, he's over there, go find him. Go down there, take a left, he's over there. That's not what discipleship is. Discipleship is what I saw right here in the Morgan family. When we got friends, I mean, these are my people. These are my tribe. We talk to the Lord together. We grow in the Lord together. We challenge each other in the word together. That's what it looks like. So my summary of all this, church, Jesus is the true vine. Connect with him. Connect with him above all else. And then secondly, help somebody else connect with him. Did you receive that word today? Awesome.